The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Choosing a mutual fund is not an easy task. After all, there are about 1,500 mutual fund schemes in the country. But let's say you decide to take the help of a financial advisor. But does that make your life any easier? Well, seems not. You see, there are more than 1 lakh mutual fund distributors in the country apart from a host of bank relationship managers, RIA and whatnot. So how do you choose which one is good and which one is bad for your financial needs? We discuss this and a lot more with our podcast producer Radhika Makker in today's episode of Why Not Mint Money.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hello everyone. Today we have a special guest, none other than Radhika, who is also our podcast producer. And today we also have a very exciting topic, which is relevant to almost everyone who is earning some bit of money, which is how to choose a mutual fund advisor, financial advisor for their investing needs. So Radhika, hey, what's up? How are you?
Hey Sachin, thank you for inviting me. I think one thing you missed in your introduction, we have Radhika who's been tolerating us for almost more than a year now. You missed that.
Vice versa too, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Radhika has also been tolerating us, so goes both ways.
Feelings are mutual.
Yeah.
So what are we discussing today?
So Radhika, you know, a lot of people, they invest money blindly. And blindly I'm saying because you would have noticed there are a lot of apps. Like you can take the name of Zerodha, Grow. These are all very popular names, right? So you can easily open an account in 2 minutes and boom, you can start investing. But the problem is that there is no advice there, right? So you are left on your own to decide what to buy, what to sell. And not everyone might have the necessary knowledge, background to understand what is happening. So, yeah, so that becomes an issue, right?
I don't think so. There's a lack of information because thanks to YouTube and now Instagram and all these social media platforms, there are a lot of financial influence. You can say a lot of influencers are there who are, you know, talking about different policies, different mutual funds. But the question here is whom to trust? Because everybody's talking about your top 5 investments. Everybody's talking about the mistakes. But it's like a double-edged sword. With a lot of information also comes that whom to trust and which part to leave. So I think that's where you need a financial advisor, a direct financial advisor to go and check. But then another question is, which one?
So Radhika, I'll pick your first question, which is you happen to mention ki there are a lot of information around YouTube, Google, which you can refer to and get information for your investing need. But isn't that the same for, let's say, lawyers, doctors? There are enough people speaking about health, but do you avoid going to a doctor? No, right? So there are enough people speaking about law and everything in the country, but do you go and fight your cases in the court yourself? No, right? So
yeah.
Similarly, I think financial advice is, you know, it's very difficult unless you're working full-time in the industry to get a good understanding. So first is, it's not a reliable source to just rely on YouTube and Google. Secondly, I think you touched on a very important point, key. How do we check the background? How reliable is the person, really, how legitimate the person is? You're just seeing them on YouTube and they might be very good at explaining concepts and all, but are they really qualified? Or, you know, is someone telling them what to speak? And
you know, the Bollywood actors, right? They give, do a lot of ads and, you know, they do all sort of acting, but they are not the real experts, so to say, right? So
yeah,
these YouTubers and Instagrammers can also be of the same breed. So we don't really know. And yes, it's a challenge to spot who is the legitimate one.
So basically you're saying, Sashi, that today we are going to talk about some red flags and green flags of financial advisors, correct? That's what we're going to do in this episode.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm an expert. I'm an expert in that, spotting red flags and green flags, doing since ages.
Tell me some of the red flags you have spotted in a financial advisor and give us some real life stories.
Getting continuous calls and giving that sky high returns, promising that those sky high returns. So I think these two, when I was talking to someone initially, when I had no knowledge, I started investing when I was 26. I know it's pretty late, but because I was not the same Indian mentality that your father is there to, so he'll only manage all your financial needs, and financial knowledge was kind of missing. So after, during COVID, I realized that no, I should also understand this side of life also, because I've already, so thankfully the first experience was not that bad, because I was continuously reading about this. But yeah, continuous calls, ki ma'am, please invest in this, we will promise you 46 return interest rate. And I was like, I'm not that dumb. 46, 45 is not, tell me more. Then I got to know more about large cap, mid cap, small cap. Of course, there's a lot. Even if they are promising 43% interest rate, it's not just that. There's more to understand.
Hey, Radhika, you already seem like a pro in spotting red flag lights. So the first point you mentioned, that, you know, people randomly calling you, texting you randomly, these are very big red flags, because when you want to do planning for your finances, you should go to the person yourself and get your services from there. Usually what happens is, if someone is bothering you, calling you every time, texting you on WhatsApp, most probably they can be a fraudulent practice, right? So we all already know many people who have been duped, or, you know, who have been scammed. So yes, you are very right.
I remember when I was in like what, 10th or 11th grade, and that time it was SIPs and mutual funds were not that common. Actually, it was not even the limelight. The only thing that I knew or my family knew was LIC and fixed deposits. So I remember all those agents, arey ma'am, policy le lo. Arey, bahut achi policy hai, ye bachchi ke liye le lo. Senior citizen ka ye le lo. So all that tactics and ways to sell, because they also have some targets, right? All those traditional ways. So those news were very, very funny.
Interesting. So I'll tell you one interesting anecdote about this. So when you go to a bank, that is a very bad, you know, place to take financial advice from. But I'm sure your parents or grandparents must be investing in a lot of product, because their banking, you know, sales
bank,
representative, relationship
bank
manager. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would be selling a lot of them because they interact with them, right? But the problem is, when you go to them, they would prefer selling all these guaranteed insurance plans, like the LICs of the world, saving plus insurance, basically, right? So what I did once was, we had a friend and I was just chatting to him about, you know, how his work is. So this friend works in a bank. So I happened to ask, so they have some points, right, that you need to fulfill this point in a particular month to get your commission or bonus or something. So I happened to ask, how is your commission structure? So do you know what my banking friend replied? He said, if you sell a mutual fund, you get 2 or 3 points. But if you sell this insurance plan, they get up to 90 points. So do you see the difference? And that's because they earn a lot of commission, not from mutual fund, but from insurance product. So again, a red flag is to avoid going to the bank. And let's say, even if you buy a mutual fund through a bank, you buy the mutual fund through the bank, they earn their commission. After that, it's over, right? They will not tell you when to sell, when to hold, when to buy, buy more. They will not provide you with any kind of assistance. So yes, banking channel is also a big no-no red flag.
Oh, I didn't know this. So Sachin, you touched upon some of the red flags like banking, continuous calling and other red flags.
Promising exorbitant returns.
Yeah, yeah. So Sachin, my question to you is, what's the first thing that an investor should ask an investment advisor when they meet them?
Interesting. So this is a very important question and a lot of people don't get this right. So it's very important to gauge what kind of person the financial advisor is before, you know, taking their service. So I have a few things in mind that you can possibly ask them when you meet them for the first time.
Okay.
First, the basic question is to ask them about their background and their specialization. So, you know, from what background they have come, what kind of certification they have, what kind of registration with the government they have that allows them to, you know, be in this profession, right? So once you get rid of the background and his expertise, his area of specialization, second is you can ask about their investment philosophy. So this can seem a very generic kind of a question, but your aim as a customer is to gauge how he looks at risk. So, you know, is he looking only at generating high returns and how much focus he is giving to downside protection, right? So getting more money is another thing you feel happy, but losing more money, it's a different feeling, right? So you need to be completely sure that your financial advisor is someone who has a sane mind and, you know, does not take excessive risk.
But I think they're trained in that way, no? To project yourself in a way that, okay, they are sounding very intelligent and they know everything. Sometimes it becomes really difficult to spot that, okay, they look very, very promising, that they will convince you and you will get dragged. Okay, let me invest because he is showing me that promising results. So at that time, what one should do?
Yes, interesting. So these are very important issues. And I think you should definitely ask this question. How do you earn money from me? So there are a few ways people earn money from you, right? When you take the service of a financial advisor.
You mean advisors?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are a few ways people earn through you. So you should straightforward ask them, how do you plan to earn money from me? How do you benefit from me? So basically, there are a few ways for them to earn money. So if they are a mutual fund distributor, they earn a commission every time you buy and sell.
Okay.
So there is an inherent bias, not for all, but some people might want you to buy and sell high commission products, right? Because that's natural, because they get more commissions from it. And I'm not saying everyone does it, but some people, you know, might have this greed of earning more money and might end up giving you product which is not good, but fetching them a high commission, right?
Yeah.
So the reason you mentioned, right, we were all talking about insurance plan. So you go to buy a mutual fund or you go to buy a fixed deposit plan, but they end up selling you this insurance plan. Guess why are they doing that? Because this fetches them a much higher commission rate. So if you know how the person is earning money from you, then you can make a sense of how they can be biased. Apart from distributors, there are this so-called registered investment advisor. These are folks who charge money directly from you. So they will come to you and they will say, hey, you pay me 40,000 every year and I will manage whatever money you have. Or, you know, they might just say, I will charge 2% of how much money you have. So if you have 100 rupees, they will charge 2 rupees. So, you know, they take the money from you, not from the product, you know, not from mutual fund or banking or insurance company.
Okay.
So can you notice what is happening? If you're paying the advisor directly, then he will sell you products which are commission free because you are already paying him the money and he doesn't need to have any, you know, commission related product. So in that way, some form of bias might go out if you get the service of a registered investment advisor.
Okay, interesting. So today, I think I'm going to go back to my financial advisor. I'm going to ask all these questions. First, I'll say, show your certificate, boss. Mera itna paisa, where are you putting? Are there any types also in financial advisor, or is there just one, like only one plain financial advisor? Like, what is there?
So there are few categories. I'll quickly touch upon all of them, right? So there are mutual fund distributor, right? So Radhika, if you have a advisor, then he or she probably is a mutual fund distributor, because there are lots and lots of mutual fund distributors in India. According to AMFI website, there are more than 1 lakh distributors who are spread across all states. So they are not allowed to give advice directly, but when they come and sell a mutual fund plan to you, they can ask you basic questions and figure out what is your risk, and what are your goals. So simple stuff. On the basis of that, they can sell you a mutual fund plan. But AMFI tells them, AMFI is the mutual fund, body, that they tell key mutual funds, mutual fund distributors cannot give advice, but they can give incidental advice. So the actual meaning of incidental is very vague, but incidental means when you're making a sale, you can just give them an indication of what this product is about. Is it suitable for them? Stuff like that. So very basic kind of advice they can give. And they earn money through commissions, right? They cannot charge money from you. They earn money through commission. And Radhika, we were also talking about a whole bunch of RIAs, right, which are registered investment advisors, and they charge money directly from you. So the problem with charging money directly from you is, you know how Indians are, right? So if you buy a 100 rupee mutual fund, money doesn't come out of your pocket, and you don't directly give the money to the advisor, right? But there's a certain pain of taking out money from your wallet or your bank account and transferring it to someone else's account. So that is a big challenge that people are hesitant to get the service of a RIA, because they have to pay their money from their own pocket. Apart from that, there are very few RIAs in the country. There are hardly 1,000 active RIAs. And if you look at, the corner of the country where I am from, Northeast, there is, you can say there are no RIAs at all, right? Because they are so few in number, and regulation makes it difficult for them to operate. So, but the advantage is, once you get their service might be slightly expensive, but they will do your whole financial planning. They will tell you not just mutual fund, they can advise you. Let's say you're about to get married, how do you plan to accumulate that much money to plan for your wedding? How much loan should you take for your car?
Home loan, medical insurance, different kinds of things they will say.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are broadly the two categories. And yeah, there are other category also, but for the purpose of this podcast, I think we can talk about them later, because broadly these two that we have mentioned are the ones which most people are using.
Wow, that's really helpful to know. And there are so many advisors out there. Can be overwhelming for somebody who's just stepping into this. Because it is very difficult to spot red flags, correct? We know this. We have experience, not just with financial advisors, but in general in life. So yes. I think, Sachin, any advice for someone who's... As a first time investor, any advice you would like to give them? Somebody who's just a college student and he or she wants to go for a financial advisor, but because they can't afford, or maybe they can't trust, or they don't know where to go. So in that case, what they should do?
I would recommend them to get a subscription of Mint and read our personal finance page. But
also
yes, even if they don't want
money, also listen to Why Not Mint Money.
That is free, and you can listen to it for free on Spotify. But they are already listening if they are in this podcast, right? But yes, there are a lot of free material that you can refer to. So if you are a college student just starting out, you don't have a lot of money to invest, then I suggest you start you know, watching all these business channels, reading basic stuff about what kind of mutual fund are there, what are the risks, you know, and what are the rewards, and how should you plan. So if you have a basic pillar or basic grasp of the topics, then in future, if you go to a financial advisor also, it will become easier for them to spot who is really a legitimate one, who knows what they're talking. But if you don't have any idea about your finances, that it becomes a problem, right? Also, one more thing I wanted to mention was, if you go to a financial advisor and he happens to sound very smart, he's using all kind of jargons, and you're not able to understand anything what, you know, he or she is trying to say, that's also a red flag. Because as a financial advisor, he or she should be able to explain to the customer in a layman language what he or she is buying into, getting into. So yes, if you do basic homework, it becomes easier for you in the future.
Yeah, interesting. So I think certificates like CFP are a strong indicator of an advisor expertise. And I think beyond certifications also, it is important to consider their experience and track record. I remember when I started this, my first question was that, show me the other investments or other, of course they can't show, they don't have right to show the ki kisne kisme invest kiya hai, but they can show the interest, they can show the profit. So go for that, look for, track more records, understand their clients, what kind of clients they are working with, and research more, I guess, before you invest. It's a fad actually these days, like people are just getting up and investing and they're not even doing the basic bare minimum research. So if you're a college student or somebody who's stepping into this for the very first time, I think the first thing I would say, just read. It would be great if you read Mint. If not, then just read more other articles and videos.
Yes. Just a small thing I wanted to point out, even if a person has a CFP, so certification is different and having a registration is different, right? So having a CFP is a certification which shows he has cleared some basic examination. But apart from that, you should ask what is their registration. So you should make sure they are operating in the legal ambit and they are part of the government ecosystem, so that if anything happens, they can be answerable to you. So certification aside, ask for registration also.
And Sachin, what should one do if an advisor promises a very high returns, super high returns?
Yes. So before answering that, I'll answer your previous question, right? So when you go to an advisor, it may not be possible to every time ask you what has been your performance, because everyone has a separate portfolio and becomes not possible to track, right? But one thing you can do is you can ask for reference, right? So good financial advisors would have other customers who are satisfied with their service, and they should be willing to connect you, you know, just so that you can get some confidence. So if you can ask for a reference, that would be great. And coming to the second part, right? So as you know, there are no free lunches in the market. And if someone is promising you exorbitant return, that simply means that that guy has not done his homework. So you should be very careful. Even if they're saying a 10% interest rate, they should be able to explain the risk that comes with it.
Okay. We spoke about red flags. We spoke about the types of financial advisors. I think it's not all doom and gloom. We should also talk about some of the green flags. I'm sure there are some really amazing financial advisors who are helping their investors. My financial advisor is one of those. He's always available and he's always ready to advise me.
So what are some green flags that you have noticed in, let's say, according to you, you meet a financial?
I think communication is key in any relationship. So especially where my money is involved, I want somebody to be really transparent and honest. Even if it's not going up, then at least tell me so that we can look for some other investment you know, plans, and we can see other products. So one is that, I think, yeah, this is a major thing, and not calling me regularly and telling he, do you want to invest? What about you?
Yes, I think I don't have any green flag as such, but until you're very careful about the red flag, I think it should be a good, you know, starting point. If you, you know, minus all the red flag, then you should end up with a advisor who is reasonably sound and reasonably intelligent also, right? So I think avoiding the red flags is the first step. And yes, I think that's the way to go. So on that note, Radhika, thank you so much for coming for this podcast. And yeah, hope to see you in many more episodes coming forward. And it was lovely having you.
Thank you so much, Sachin.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you would like to know more about this topic, then you can reach out to me on Twitter. I go by the username @SachinNJ or LinkedIn using my full name, that is Sachin Ningthau Khongjam. We would be happy to take your suggestions. That's all from our side. Thanks for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Together with Delta, we're putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. This is Delta with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.